It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
What's your special iced coffee?
Presidential campaigns run on coffee. Just ask Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, even Kamala Harris.
Oh, my heart is full right now.
Now the man who brought gourmet coffee to more than 14,000 locations in the states is thinking about a presidential campaign himself.
I will run as a centrist independent.
Schultz hasn't hit the campaign trail yet, but sees a path through the middle.
Both parties are consistently not doing what's necessary on behalf of the American people and are engaged every single day in revenge politics.
The independent billionaire Schultz can't buy what more liberal Trump challengers have, though, a following that's already energized.
Education is a fundamental right, and we will guarantee that right with universal pre-K and debt-free college.
That first pitch to progressives for Senator Harris drew 20,000 people.
Healthcare is a fundamental right, and we will deliver that right with Medicare for all.
Healthcare is an issue Schultz believes he can break with Democrats on.
What the Democrats are proposing is something that is as false as the wall, and that is free health care for all, in which the country cannot afford.
Now Democratic power brokers worry Schultz could be a spoiler. Michael Bloomberg says he ruled out an independent run of his own because, quote, in 2020, the great likelihood is that an independent would just split the anti-Trump vote and end up reelecting the president. The president himself is taunting the potential third-party challenger, tweeting, Howard Schultz doesn't have the guts to run for president. Watched him on 60 Minutes last night, and I agree with him that he is not the smartest person. Besides, America already has that, and that attack may seem geared towards 2020, but Trump has been zeroed in on Starbucks since 2015 when he made this roast.
Maybe we should boycott Starbucks. I don't know. Seriously.
Well, that was Peter Ducey last night on Fox. And of course, that will be interesting. If Schultz enters the race as an independent, that will be sort of a coffin, a nail in the coffin for Democrats. I think there's no doubt about it. Sandy Rios with you this morning. I'll talk about candidates a little bit later. I haven't spent much time on that, and I don't plan to, honestly, because it's the early stages, and people are just talking, and people will shake out, and other people will join in, and it's just too early. It's interesting to talk about it. We'll spend a little time on Kamala Harris today, but actually what I wanted to talk to you is what Todd Pirro, his report this morning that happened last night in Houston, clip 8.
Yeah, that's right. It's a sound we hear all too often in this war on cops. Scanner traffic explaining what went wrong. Four Houston police officers shot serving a search warrant at a home that was believed to be a drug den. Police adding that a tip from a neighbor led officers there. But when they arrived, they immediately came under fire. Police eventually shooting and killing two suspects. Right now, one of those officers has been released from the hospital with a gunshot to the shoulder. But two officers are in critical condition with gunshots to the neck. In this first month of 2019, which isn't even over yet, four officers have been shot and killed. Not to mention those injured, like these Houston officers, in what Texas Governor Greg Abbott describes as a horrific attack. Now, in a few hours, we expect to learn more about the shooting and the officer's condition when the police chief talks to the media. But we do know, guys, one of these officers had been shot previously.
All right. So the story is, of course, that two of these guys are still in very critical condition and two others are in the hospital. You know, in the year 2017, 144 state and local law officers died in the line of duty. In 2017, 129 officers were killed. We know that the numbers are up. We see it in the headlines. And it's only going to get worse. because his crime, you know, with the, I'm just saying, with criminal justice reform, with they, with them letting more drug dealers out on the street in the misguided effort to show mercy, they are going to be letting a lot of people back out on the street who are seasoned drug operatives. And drugs, you know, drugs are not, they're not just about smoking pot or small bits of whatever kind of drug it is. It's about violence and guns. People get violent over this. They steal, they kill, they do all kinds of things. Violent crime is absolutely associated with drugs, which reminds me of something else, and that is the border. The border, the border, the border. 90% of our drugs come across the border. And we're having this fight, unless we forget what this is all about. It's not Trump's wall. It's not Trump's wall. That's what the left wants to say. That's what the papers want to say. That's what even Fox says. It's our wall. It's a wall to protect us. And I think President Trump was very eloquent. And he said, it's not that we hate people on the other side. It's that we love those inside the wall. We're trying to protect those inside the wall. Why is that so hard? And so the president will deliver his State of the Union address next Tuesday. I'm sure he'll be speaking about this wall because he has not given up on doing that. Meanwhile, Chuck Schumer is sliming him again, of course, talking about the fact that he thinks, Schumer thinks, that Republicans and Democrats can work together in the Senate on border security. Oh, indeed they can. We've seen, remember the Gang of Eight? Remember how many times we've had to pull them back from the brink of making really bad decisions because the Republican leadership is so bad on this? Remember that Marco Rubio was part of this Gang of Eight amnesty deal? It was so disappointing because he hadn't been serving in the Senate all that long, and many people thought he was much more conservative than he actually turned out to be. Very disappointing. And so he continues because he was on, he was on with Meet the Press, Chuck Todd. And Chuck was asking him about if the president declares a national emergency, you know, what do you think about that? And I want you to hear what he said. Clip six.
You have said you're opposed to the national emergency option. In 3 weeks, though, I know you guys have no appetite on either side of the aisle for another shutdown. So if that's the only way to keep the government funded, he goes national emergency. How defiant are you on this option? Will you fight the president on this or not?
Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea. I think it'd be a terrible idea. I hope he doesn't do it.
But
I don't
would
think
you
it's
fight him on it
either. Sure, because I think that it's important. Look, I don't think we'll have to fight because I'm not sure they'll end up doing that. I know it's an option they've looked at, but now you're at the mercy of a district court somewhere and ultimately an appellate court. So it really may not even withstand if you look at some of the other rulings we've seen. The other is the precedent that it sets, and it's just not a good precedent to set in terms of action. It doesn't mean that I don't want border security. I do. I just think that's the wrong way to achieve it. It doesn't provide certainty, and you could very well wind up in sort of a theatric victory at the front end and then not getting it done. I think the best way to do it is to have a law passed that funds border security so we know it's going to happen.
You notice he said border security. He didn't say a wall. I don't trust him. You know, Senator Rubio undermined and undercut his conservative constituents when he started dealing with the Democrats on trying to make a deal on what was happening with illegal immigration. We've got something like 12 to 15,000 more people coming toward the border. You do know that, right? It's surging because they all want to get in because, you see, there's no wall. And, of course, the nonsense of Democrats telling us that, and some Republicans, that if we just had more electronic devices, more drones, we could stop this. No, we can't stop this. It's like, you know, you have home security and you got some kind of eye, you know, out on your porch and you can see somebody. Fine, you can see them and you can detect them. You can even talk to them from a remote location. But what if they just really want to come in? And by the way, that's not even an accurate comparison because this would have to be the comparison if you had no door. Just no door, just an open house. And that little camera is just going to tell you when somebody's there and that's enough, right? It isn't enough. We all know it isn't enough. It is nonsense. And I want to share with you an article in Breitbart. This is really frightening, and it needs to be, because this is a national emergency. I think we're forgetting this. We're talking about government shutdowns and government workers. We're talking about, you know, how inconvenient it was for Washington, D.C. And could I just add, Mitch McConnell and the other part of the leadership of the House and the Senate, Republicans and Democrats, talk about how horrible a shutdown is. Nobody wants a shutdown. Nobody. It's shutdown. We always lose on a shutdown. Why did we lose? Well, we lost because Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy did nothing. They did zero, zed, nada. They did nothing. They didn't use their legislative muscle. They didn't try to do anything. They were, you know, eager to have very short weeks and get back home and have their 3-4 day weekends and work their 2.5 day weeks. They did nothing. They didn't hold hearings. They didn't do any kind of, Kevin McCarthy, tiny bit, you know, gets out in front of a camera and says the president, you know, should be supported, but he doesn't really support him by doing anything. The president needed both of those people actually, you know, making the case, holding hearings, having discussions on the floor of the Senate and the House about why border security is important, about why the American people are at risk. But no, because they had to get back home and I don't know, you fill in the blank. Their vacations are very important to them and their fundraisers are very important to them. Not so much what I'm going to tell you right now, and that is a verified and convicted terrorist who attacked a U.S. consulate with a grenade and automatic rifle fire has taken over the Ruthless Los Zetas cartel. This is a group that's headquartered at the Texas border. It's right across from Laredo. And by the way, Laredo is the only urban location along the entire U.S.-Mexico border that does not have any fencing or constructed security border of any kind. The terrorist convicted is Hector Raul Luna Luna. He's known as El Tori. And it has a great deal of detail in this Breitbart article. But let me just say that he has been overseeing Los Zetas as it has moved into a level of brutality that had not been seen in prior years. Gruesome executions, dismemberments, targeted attacks on police and military officials, and the general use of intimidation. They talk about using body parts, severed heads. This is the guy headquartered right across from Laredo, Texas, which has no border, and is in charge with getting, you know, drugs into our country. There's another, I don't know if it's in this article. No, it's in a different one. This is from Daniel Horowitz, Daniel's a frequent guest on the show. Daniel talks about a woman who lives on the border. She says, every time we hear that asylum seekers have turned themselves in, when it's 100 people or more, they're pulling the Border Patrol off the road. So the drug cartels are coming in. The Border Patrol's not catching, and those guys are the bad guys. I'm scared for my life, and I'm scared for my kids' lives. Who knows what's coming across? They don't know what's coming in because they're not watching them. And then a Fox affiliate reported, criminal organizations smuggling these groups of people continue to take advantage of them in order to enhance their illicit activities without due regard to the risks to human life. According to the BP, in most cases, Border Patrol, these smugglers never cross the border themselves and risk apprehension. Local media in New Mexico reports that this is the 26th group of 100 or more individuals coming over just since last October. One individual was diagnosed with flesh-eating disease. On the same day, Border Patrol put out a statement noting that Border Patrol agents are essentially becoming a hospital for contagious diseases. USPB has spent a total of 19,299 hours providing various levels of support to hospital visits, transporting 50 individuals to the hospital, utilized nearly all available agents. And what happens when agents are taken off the field? It severely limits their ability to process the large group or respond to other border security duties. There's been a 280% increase in family units since this time last year. There's 12,000 to 15,000 headed our way. And it's not just the people on the border. As is well said, every single town in the United States is a border town. Your town, your small town. Now, some of you are not seeing this. That's true. Not all of you are seeing this in your local small community, but many of you are. In fact, you know what? I should open the phone lines and find out what you are seeing and get your stories. And if you are still concerned, is it really true that Americans don't care about a wall? That's what they keep telling us in the poll. I find that incredulous. I can't hardly believe that. I'm just wondering what you think. You don't really care about a wall? I don't, and that's not even just my question. What are you seeing where you live, the results of illegal immigration? I'd be curious. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Our concern about 13 Reasons Why has not diminished. If you've signed the AFA petition to Netflix CEO Reed Hastings, then you've probably heard the story of Anna Bright, who killed herself after binge-watching the show. But did you know she wasn't the first, nor the last? Other young people have been influenced by this program and have taken their own lives. Netflix says they want to stimulate conversations about taboo topics like teen suicide, but they still refuse to have a conversation with the American Family Association about the dangers of their show. Please pray that God will change Mr. Hastings' mind so that he pulls 13 Reasons Why before another life is lost. Look for the AFA Action Alerts with information you can email and share on social media so that others can sign the petition too by visiting afa.net. Every vulnerable teen is another reason why.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. We've seen God open up so many doors for us to help serve and love those who get affected by a natural disaster.
As the trees and the wind started crashing down around us, my wife was, of course, very diligently praying, you know, Lord, please be with us.
Very simply, we do it because God commands us to love others.
I see these volunteers all as a gift from God.
And I'm just grateful they're here, you know, helping out. It's a blessing.
If you're interested in becoming a part of what God's doing through 8 Days of Hope, please go to 8daysofhope.com, click on Get Involved, submit your email address.
I've noticed that whenever there's a time in my life when things might be a little gloomy, the number one thing that I can do is to go serve somebody.
And I would encourage anyone else to, it's worth it. Come out and do it next time if you didn't make it to this one. And the Father will really bless you in it.
Thank you so much for your prayers and volunteering with 8 Days of Hope.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Peter Koh, and I'm a business major, and this is my junior year at the college. What I love about the athletics here at Truett McConnell University is the coaches and their side of trying to teach sports from a biblical mindset with sportsmanship involved, and it really changes the way that you pursue the game, not just passionately doing it for other people, but also for yourself and to glorify God in that, which is completely different from most other schools.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Vice President Mike Pence is defending a Christian school where his wife teaches art. Karen Pence works at Emmanuel Christian School in Virginia, the school under attack because they require staffers to support traditional marriage. LGBT activists say the rules are anti-gay. A CNN columnist called the school un-American, soulless.
This criticism of Christian education in America should stop.
The vice president was a guest on the Catholic television network EWTN.
To see major news organizations attacking Christian education is deeply offensive to us. I mean, we have a rich tradition in America of Christian education and, frankly, religious education broadly defined.
The vice president is right to call out this blatant anti-Christian bigotry. CNN calls that un-American, but in reality, freedom to practice one's faith is the essence of being American. I'm Todd Stearns.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Let me be very clear. I'm not going to vote for a wall under any circumstances, and I do support border security. And if we want to talk about that, let's do that. And let's talk about what really accomplishes border security, which is let's upgrade the technology. Let's look at the fact that the folks who are working on border security on the ground know that they need upgraded infrastructure around things like drones, and they need cameras. So, yes, I'm all for increased border security where we need it. I am not for a wall.
Well, okay, that's Kamala Harris, probably your next presidential candidate. I'm guessing. I'm telling you right now, I think she's going to get it. I think she'll be the Democratic candidate because she's got that special something. Her policies are horrendous, but she has that special something. And so I think she'll be the candidate. And interesting, so what she's saying is, all of you listening to me, you don't need a door. Neither does she. You don't need a door on your front porch. You don't need a door. You just need a camera. No door, just a camera, just to make it simple so that we can be clear. I was talking before we took the break of what the polls are saying. Now, there's a brand new poll in regard to American citizens and how they feel about a wall. There's a brand new poll, Washington Post, ABC, and this is what it says. 42% of Americans support a border wall, 54% oppose it. Now, according to this, this is from Hot Air. They say that's still a high watermark from support over the past two plus years and the lowest level of opposition. Well, rah-rah, lowest level of opposition. A year ago in this polling series, support for the wall was 34% and opposition was 63%. A strong majority, 54%, believe that the U.S. is doing too little to prevent illegal immigration. Well, that's a victory. With only 24% believing that we're doing the right amount. 24% think we're doing the right amount. They like the no doors and cameras. So, but let me go back to this percentage. So this is the latest. 42% oppose a wall, are in favor of a wall, 54% oppose it. 42 in favor, 54 against. Okay? So I find myself saying, what, really? Honestly, I don't understand that. I just don't understand that. So I wanted to talk to you this morning because I really would like to see what you are seeing in your neighborhoods. I have made the case that every town, every city, every area is a border community because they're flooding into the country, illegal immigrants. So what are you seeing and what are you hearing about support for border wall? Let's go to Monty in Virginia. Good morning, Monty.
Hey, Sandy, you are absolutely one of my favorite radio hosts, and God bless you and thank you. I just want to give you a quick stat. Virginia has a problem of opioids like any other small town. Culpeper, Virginia, where I am, is roughly 50,000 in the county. It's a 20 by 20 county, and the town is maybe 10,000. The reality is we are the number one opioid town in the state of Virginia. We've had 13 teenage deaths. Now, remember, you're not far from me. Are you in the D.C. area?
Culpeper's close, and I've been there. I've eaten there, Monty.
Well, I'm going to come meet you. You meet me, because I am a radical insult to this place when it comes to education and the way they behave towards things like opioid. We're getting a center donated by a family, meaning that they're giving up their farm, and a church is helping fortify that. There's a guy named Chris Hansen, who was an NBA player who got on, you know, the drugs. And anyway, he's getting one in Fauquier County, where I was born. But, Sandy, we have to put, just think, when these people come over the border, herd them into, I did special forces in the military, also worked 2 years in a medium security prison. I can't get a teaching job in my hometown. I got too much Christian ethics. And Sandy, what do you know? Bring them into an area, and they are immediately put into military training. And when they finish 18 weeks of military training, I'm going to wonder, do they want to go back over the wall or make it Friendship Heights and be a part of the community?
Now, wait a second. Monty, you are usually very clear, but I'm confused. You said your county is the number one opioid count in the country or in the state?
No, if you start doing a little research, Sandy, Culpeper is a 20 by 20 mile county. We are considered the birthplace of First Amendment rights, but the town itself is pursuing opioid centers, you know, such as treatment centers. But it's considered, if you do the stats on it, look at the state of Virginia, and we have been doing it through the school system. And so when we had 13 teenage deaths last year, now, that's in the state of Virginia. If you do a comparison, there's not somebody bigger than we are per capita that's having deaths over opioids.
Yeah. And how do you, okay, personally, how can you connect the dots between that and what's happening on the border?
Well, again, when I grew up here in the 60s and finished high school, there was no such thing as that many Hispanics. The people right next door in the apartment house, there was nothing but white, elderly, retired. Now the apartment houses are filled with Hispanics. I love these people. I go to school with them. I take care of their needs through the church. And guess what? We love each other, but you can't have illegals, and you know that, come across the border and decide that we're going to reinvent the United States of America. It doesn't work that way. The Indian didn't do it that way, and they lost.
Yeah. Okay, Monty, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And we have to also say that our radio signal is out of Culpeper in Northern Virginia and goes into Washington, D.C. So you guys have a very important place in our hearts, Monty. And it's always nice to hear from you. Thank you. Let's go to Debbie in Oklahoma. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning. I'm from Oklahoma, and I just want to say that they're flooding in because they think that we're going to get a wall, and I pray daily that we do, but they're afraid we're going to get one, so they're even flooding more, and all they're wanting is to take over the country. A long time ago, they said they would take over the state of California, and they did. They took over the state of California.
Yeah,
so
well, of course,
take over the country.
Yeah, of course, not every person coming across the border thinks that way, Debbie, because they're just a lot of them are just poor and desperate. Some of them are just wicked, and they want to sell drugs. But there is La Raza, and the race, which is Spanish for the race. There is a leftist stronghold driving all of this, and you're right. At their heart, the Marxist leftist part of this, it's driving a lot of it, wants to take over. They think this is their land. Just like those Indians that yelled at those boys last week, the different ethnicity, but you know, you took this from us. This is our land. And so the Mexicans feel the same way. This is our land. We want it back. But not everybody that comes across the border feels that way. Are you seeing this in your town or in your area?
Most of the people that I know are, they have done it the right way. We have very good friends, and I work with people that have done it the right way. They went through all the procedures, and they're legal. And that's all I want, is if you come, just be legal. And, you know, the ones that are, I don't know, it seems to me that the ones that are forcing it and trying to come are mostly, I would think, the ones that are up to no good, or they would be trying to come legally.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
They may not be able to, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Debbie, thank you. Let's go to Matt in Arkansas. Good morning, Matt.
Hello. Sandra, it's an honor to speak with you. You caught me off guard.
Well, do you now?
Do what?
I'm just going to tease you, but I don't want to take your time. Okay, so what's on your mind?
Okay. Well, there's two comments. One, there's this little town near just north of Texarkana, Texas, in Arkansas. And on the Arkansas side is De Queen, Arkansas. They call that Little Mexico. And when you go on the Walmart, I've counted before, and I'm going, my goodness, there's more Mexicans than there are, you know, non-Mexicans. And but the main comment that I have is that the reason why we have levees around bodies of water is to keep the water from flowing out. When we have great storms, what happens to those levees? Sometimes they begin to break. Well, we need a levee on the border. It's called a wall.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, I want to ask you a question. Because some people would say to you, Matt, what you just said is so racist. You don't like brown people. You don't like Mexicans. It's just that you don't like Hispanic people. That's your problem. Admit it. I'd like to know what you'd say to that.
Well, number one, that's hogwash. Number two, I love the way Abraham Hamilton says there's only one race. We're all one people. We just want to be different things. We're wanting to be white. We're wanting to be black. We're wanting to be a man when we're really a woman. We're wanting to be a woman when we're really a man. We're just all wannabes. It's all an emotional issue. What I would say to that is that I don't care whether they think I'm racist or not. Just go ahead and call me racist. It makes no difference to me. It doesn't affect the way I eat. It doesn't affect the way I sleep. It doesn't affect the way I meet people because I just love everyone. I love everyone, but yet at the same time, you know, there's, you know, if you do wrong, you do wrong.
Yeah. Okay, Matt, thank you. I think I just want to drop in here just to clarify a lot of things. This is not about the color of someone's skin. This has to do, you know, you can be an American of any color, race, or creed. Have we not proven that? We are united around a set of principles as written in the Constitution. We have a Christian heritage. We have Christian founding fathers. If you're hostile to our Constitution, if you're hostile to our laws, if you're hostile to our founding fathers and all the things we stand for, and you want to come in and change it, you want to force the way of life from your own country. You want to maintain the loyalty to your country rather than embrace the language, the people, the culture here, and become a citizen as the rest of us have, then you are not welcome. And it doesn't matter if you're white or purple. I mean, because there's a lot of people that are coming in from, I would say, Russia and the Baltic countries, tons of them. Certainly in many areas, that's a whole other issue. And I've known some of them that did not embrace this country. They were here to do crime, to undermine, to prey upon our sometimes very weak and generous system. And so this is not a matter of race. And I want to make that perfectly clear. Toby in Arkansas, love to know what you think. What's happening with you guys?
Hello?
Hello, Toby. Have you got something on your mind?
Yes, Amy, well, I didn't hear you say my name. Yeah, I've got a lot on my mind. First of all, to be for open borders and free immigration into our country at the time we're living in right now, with all the violence and corruption that we've got going on, a lot of it coming up from the border, in my mind, it's an act of treason. It's not only against common sense, it's against the very essence and sense of survival. If we're going to survive as a nation, we have to defend our borders. No true American that loves freedom is against legal immigration, whether it be from Mexico or a Muslim country, but we want Muslims coming into this country to be vetted properly to make sure they're not coming from a terrorist background. And we would like to see people coming into our country that are going to contribute to the country instead of taking away the benefits that our tax dollars go to now to support all the illegals that are already in the country. This is not Trump's wall. We voted Trump in because we, the American people that love this country, want a wall to protect ourselves, our children, and our grandchildren from the globalist agenda to take down borders and sovereignty of every nation in the world. That's why we see over in Europe a tremendous Muslim invasion, because the borders have been taken away over there. We're not going to allow it to happen here in America.
Yeah.
We will not allow it to happen here in America. So the American people need to support Donald Trump, those that are in favor of freedom in America, and those that are in favor of open borders just need to take advantage of the open borders that we now have and move out and go to Cuba, Venezuela, China, or some other communist socialist country and quit trying to turn America into something we were never meant to be and never will be, which is a communist country. That's what I got to say.
Okay, Toby, thank you. Very well said. I don't know if any of you listened last Friday. I interviewed a French professor. He was a little hard to understand, but I think I was talking to a friend who listened, and I think together he and I were able to make it clear that what's happening in France, he feels like he's losing his country. He's a professor, did I say? Professor at University of Paris. He feels like France is just lost. And he talks about much of what we have experienced here. The globalist in France, certainly Macron is one of them, will not stop the immigration. And it's breaking the backs of the middle class in France. Their taxes are going up, and they're the ones that are ending up, their generous social services to the immigrants coming in. And these immigrants are coming in legally because France is allowing them. But the real French people, who are now marching on the streets with those yellow vests on, is terrible. The burden is so great. And so, yes, Toby's exactly right. This is what's happening, and is maybe too late for Europe to pull it back, France, maybe even England. But it isn't too late for us, and that's what we're trying to do. All right, I'll go back to the phones when we return. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
All who hate wisdom love death. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. On the 46th anniversary of the diabolical Roe v. Wade decision, the New York Senate passed the Reproductive Health Act, which allows late-term abortions when the baby is up to 24 weeks, or there's an absence of fetal viability, or the abortion is necessary to protect the mother's life or health. The life or health all factors exception to the law permits abortion at any point during the pregnancy if the mother says the baby would negatively affect her emotionally, psychologically, familially, or if it negatively affects her age. To celebrate death is to reject wisdom. Baby murder proponents are the new Nazis.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Nancy Pelosi will never give President Trump a platform for the State of the Union address. She knows the president would use it to shame the Democrats for their stubbornness on the wall. The president should rent the Capital One Center in D.C. where the NBA's Washington Wizards play and deliver the speech from there. He should invite all America to come so the place is packed to the rafters with people wearing MAGA hats. There should be 535 chairs set up right down in front, half for congressional Republicans and half for Democrats. The nation could see at a glance which party refuses even to listen to our president talk to the nation about the state of our union. He can then send a copy of his speech to both the House and Senate as his formal State of the Union address. There's not a single thing Nancy Pelosi could do about any of that.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE, 833-44-BIBLE.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. National Security Advisor John Bolton traveled to the Middle East to clarify that President Trump has two important preconditions before U.S. forces will be withdrawn from Syria. First, Turkey must refrain from attacking our Kurdish allies there. And second, ISIS must be defeated. It's very good news that the U.S. government is determined to achieve these goals. Defeating such Sharia supremacists, whether those waging jihad under the ISIS banner or those like Turkish President Erdogan, who has supported ISIS, must be our purpose in the Middle East and beyond. To learn what that will take, all of us should review an indispensable explanation of Sharia and what its adherents are obliged to do to achieve our submission, produced in an excellent video-based course by our colleagues at Understanding the Threat. You and our leaders have a need to know. This is Frank Gaffney. Visit understandingthethreat.com.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. Before I go to the phone lines, and in case you just tuned in, we're talking about the effects of illegal immigration and what's happening on the border everywhere. And so I'm asking people to just, what are you seeing in your community? And also just the puzzling thing to me that the polls show that most Americans, in fact, 54%, don't support a wall. What's that all about? So our phone number is 888-589-8840, and we are having a conversation about that. Before I go back to the phones, though, this same Washington Post ABC poll that I cited, that's the numbers from their poll, that 54% oppose a wall, 42% 42% support it. Also asked the question about impeaching Donald Trump. I thought you might be interested in this. It shows that 6 in 10 adults support the party, meaning the Democratic Party, using its congressional authority to obtain and release Trump's tax returns. But 46% suspect Democrats will go too far in their inquiries of Trump, while just over one-third think they will handle it about right. Now, here's the key point on this. Last August, the result was 49 to 46 percentage people supporting impeachment proceedings in the House. In just 5 months, that has flipped to 18 points. Most people are absolutely against it right now. I think that's really interesting. Don't you? Most Americans are against the impeachment of the president still. And only half of Americans report that they have just some confidence, or none at all, that the Mueller report will be fair and even-handed. And 43% say they have at least a good amount of confidence in its fairness. So, this is the breakdown. Almost a third of Democrats, 32%, express little to no confidence in Mueller's investigation. So I just think those are interesting numbers, and I thought you'd find that interesting as well. All right, let me go back to the phone lines. A phone number, again, is 888-589-8840. What are you seeing in terms of illegal immigration in your community? And are you having discussions with people about the border wall? Are they really saying the border wall is stupid? It's Trump's wall. We don't need one. If you're hearing that, I would really like to know. This is a puzzle to me. Rebecca in North Carolina. Good morning. How are you? Good morning, Rebecca.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that.
We must have a delay here. Hey, guys, maybe we could hang on a second. Adam and Rob, maybe we can fix that so that they can, because that happened with Toby too. So, Rebecca, I want to know what you're seeing in North Carolina.
Well, I do see a lot of illegals. In fact, we have a little area in our town that's called Little Mexico also. And I have, in the last 30 years, I've lived in Virginia, I've lived in California, I've lived in Iowa, and now here in North Carolina. My husband was military. And they're everywhere, not that I'm racist or anything like that or prejudiced. My concern is, having been to Mexico, it was 30 years ago down in Tijuana, I saw the level of living that they did, as far as like just stopping alongside the road and going to the bathroom. Was not a problem. It's the way they lived. And the concern is that they're bringing their lifestyle to us, that if they come in legally, then they're going to step up to the plate and they're going to honor and respect our country and try to live as we do. But the way that they're coming in, they're just bringing in their lifestyle to us and taking us down to that. I had another thought. I just want to ask you real quick. Is it true that President Trump does not receive a salary for being president?
Yes. And actually, I had a story to share yesterday. Let's see. I didn't read it thoroughly, but he has donated his last year's salary, the entire bit of it, to some sort of an alcohol treatment program.
Well,
yeah, he doesn't take a salary.
Why does he not donate that to one of two things, either to the border wall or... to, if we have to have another shutdown, to those that are without income. Either way, it would be a good move, and it would promote the border wall. And everyone I know that I speak with is for the border wall. So I don't know where they're getting their statistics or poll from, but it's not from, I don't know anybody myself.
Yeah.
Opposed to the border.
Okay, well, that's interesting. I don't either, Rebecca. I can't imagine anybody being that silly unless, you know, there are our neighbors and friends who have resist on their bumper stickers, who absolutely blindlessly hate Donald Trump. There are tons of those. It doesn't surprise me that they'd be against the wall, because they love to call it his wall. They want him to fail on this because it's his signature promise. But that is so myopic. That is such small thinking. I just don't understand why people cannot connect the dots and recognize how dangerous this is for them and their families. Who do they think they are? They think they're going to be immune from all this drug trafficking, this disease, the burden of taxes, the burden on hospitals, really? Somehow they're going to be exempt from all of that? I kind of doubt it. Rebecca, I appreciate you calling. Thank you. And, you know, I had an article yesterday I was going to share with you about a woman who runs, it's interesting, a porta potty service. I believe it was in New Mexico, but I'm not sure. And she had been contracted by the government to bring in these porta potties to service the immigrants who are trying to get asylum. And they're so overrun. And she talked about the fact that the Border Patrol was bringing in the porta potties because otherwise the area around their buildings was just a toilet. And so, and then she talked about the disease, and she said finally they just had to, her people that work for her, that man the potties, have to wear all this special gear she had to supply for them because of all the diseases. I mean, this is a real problem. And it, of course, it's a matter of a third world country living. And it's kind of the age old question of, so people who are clean and civilized and have the resources to use soap and water and indoor plumbing and all of that, how do we regard, we can look on third world people with sympathy and want to help them, and actually we should be helping them, but does that mean we bring them into our homes or our country, our communities, and put at risk our own children? Or is there a smarter way to help them? I think there's a smarter way to help them. And I don't think it's by just taking down all the borders and having your own community, your own home, if you invite them in your home, which is what you should do if you don't believe in borders. They should just be able to walk into your house and eat your food, and you should really support them. There just shouldn't be a problem. And if they have drugs, well, that's, you know, you just cope with it, right? So it's just nonsense. It really is. To think that we should not have some sort of a barrier that we can protect our families, as President Trump said beautifully, because we love the people on the other side of the wall. We love them. It's not that we hate those that are trying to get in. They can get in in a legal way if they have standing, but not everyone in the world can get in here. Can everybody in the world come into your house and use your facilities and be supported by you? Really? Okay, let's go to Donna in Texas. Good morning. Good morning, Donna. Did we get that name right? Is this Donna?
Oh, yes. Hello, Sandy. This is Donna, the transplanted Virginian, calling you from Central Texas.
Well,
Happy
good morning.
New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
I've been listening. Oh, yes. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm listening for you. I want to know what you have to say.
What do I think?
Yes.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly. I wanted to thank Monty, Matt, Toby, and Rebecca. And if I missed others, I'm sorry for not voicing your name. But, you know, I think a lot of us are very upset because we see ourselves, this country is at the precipice of a huge change. And this has been coming on for quite a long time. Samuel Huntington wrote about it in his thesis, Clash of Civilizations. A lot of people have talked about it, and because of the loggerheads that has continued in our Congress for the last 20 plus years, and the infiltration of socialists and communists into our most precious institutions such as education, our youth right now, according to Gary Kaa, consider themselves, and 54% would say that they are socialist. And of that 54%, not even half of them could define what socialist means. I remember flying back to the United States, I think we had the discussion where I had been stationed in Berlin. I was in East Berlin the day the wall fell. And on November 9th, 1989, the entire paradigm for international relations changed. The New World Order, as our former President Bush I so aptly put it, has been the focus. We all know that, all of us who have called in. I grew up in Virginia and Maryland because my father was CIA. When we first moved there after our tour in Taiwan, all of a sudden we had that area became flooded with many Asian people from all over. China, Japan, Korea, Vietnam, Cambodia. I know where Culpeper is, Monty. And I totally agree with you. You know, in the 60s, the area that in which you live, you and Sandy both, absolutely magnificent, very patriotic. But all of a sudden, it was turned over to a lot of immigrants.
Yeah. You know, Donna, I don't really think that most Americans, unless they've been there in the last, to really stay some time, recognize how much the D.C. area, Northern Virginia, has become a third world country, really. And now that maybe that's an overstatement. But not too much. I mean, it's just it's hard to recognize. It's hard to find English-speaking people, English as a first language, and even English-speaking. And I remember going to the Bank of America when I first moved, and I couldn't find everyone in there was in some other costume. The DMV were the same way. A million different languages. It's just amazing how they have turned D.C. into, it's kind of like New York City, or maybe even worse, I would say. But I can't imagine. I don't have the perspective of time. I came to D.C. in 2001, so my experience is more recent than that. But it's just amazing. Times have changed so much. Donna, you are so eloquent, and I wish. Please, what did you tell me quickly? Because I got to get to some other call here.
What I did?
Yeah, okay. What did you do?
I served in the United States Army as a linguist.
Okay.
Polish, Russian, Serbo-Croatian.
Wow.
My first language was Mandarin Chinese. I lived in Greece.
Wow.
This is what I do. I am an analyst, and I look at trends and patterns. And I'm trying to tell everybody who is listening today that this is an out-and-out war. But most of America has no idea what's going on. And it really is up to us at this point to try and educate. I'm in Central Texas. I talk to young people all the time, but I've seen a huge change here as well over the last 20 years. There are more and more people coming in who do not speak any English, who are settling in the areas that are older now. Gangs starting to come up. We have shootings every day in Killeen, if you're familiar with the Fort Hood area. We have drugs, you know, basically an area that used to be very safe and owned mostly the landowners here, ranch holders, farmers, are turning over their land because it's a generational thing. They're passing on, and as the older people pass along who are more conservative, the younger ones are coming in, and they have grown up and been spoon-fed on handouts.
Yes.
And it's going to be a very, very difficult thing to turn this over. It's
and indoctrinated to socialism, and the capitalism is bad, and the making money, and not really understanding what's happening in Venezuela, what's happened in China, what's happened in Cuba. They have no comprehension of that, Donna. Listen, you're a jewel, and you're a treasure to us, so stay listening, and it's nice to hear from you. I love hearing your background and your experience, so call us anytime. I'm sorry you didn't get to the rest of the calls, and we'll do this more often because you encouraged me this morning because I just didn't think I was alone. No, I'm kidding. I know I'm not alone, but honestly, we do. She's right. We are really on our own with this, with the president. Isn't that something? Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.